Okay, we'll move ahead. Maybe we'll go back to that when it comes back to me. But it's kind of funny about some of the best thoughts that I have that'll happen. I'll wake up in the morning and I'll think, boy, that's a profound thought. There's no way I'm going to forget that. And then I'll go back to sleep and I'll wake up and I thought, what was that thought? But how come I can't remember it? I should have got up and wrote it down. Okay, let's talk about the principle of change itself. Change is often criticized by people because they think, well, we don't want change. We want to go after the ultimate perfection and be saved and live forever with God and Jesus, and we're going to be, or Muhammad or whatever, and we're going to be in a state of bliss forever and ever and ever. But why do you suppose God created the world to begin with? Let's suppose that you were God, and you were up there and floating around, and there were just you. Okay, well, you think, well, this is kind of nice and peaceful. Nobody giving me a hard time about anything. But he has one problem, and what's that problem? He just bored to death. So he decides, I'm going to create change. Because change would be interesting. So God decides to create change to eliminate the problem of boredom. Because one of the biggest problems that we have in life is being bored. I remember the biggest problem I had as a teenager was boredom, and got me into quite a bit of trouble, the things I did to cure the boredom problem. But we used to pull pranks and different things like that when I was a kid. But it's interesting how a lot of people think the ideal is to be in some state of bliss where there is no change. But once a goal is reached, do we want to just reach, stay in a plateau? No, you want to maybe rest a while, and the rest is nice, but after you rest and in a state where there's no change, then you decide you get bored, and then you decide you want change. So God decided to create this world, or this universe, and he thought, well, and put yourself in the state of God, because it says that man is created in the image of God. So if we want to understand God, look at how we would do things. Or if we want to understand us, look at how God does things. So God and man are really one. Jesus says, I and my Father are one, and I want you, my disciples, to be one as me and my Father are one. So since we're in the image of God, we should be one with God. If we're one with God, then we can really understand the mind of God. So put ourselves in the situation of being the creator. What do we want to do? We want to create a universe that's fascinating, that's a challenge. When a human being creates a great game, does he want to create one that he can win every time? That's easy? Does he want to create football so everybody always wins? There's never an accident. There's never a problem. There's never a penalty. There's touchdowns all over the place on both sides, and both sides have an equal score. Do we design it that way? No, we design football so, man, it's a tough game. You have to really be tough to be able to play it, and there's a danger of getting hurt. There's even a danger of getting killed or injured for life. There's all kinds of problems with football, but when it's out there, when you're out there playing, it's fun as the dickens, and when you're watching, it's also fun to watch. People get so excited about it, they almost go crazy over it. And same thing with a game like Monopoly or chess. You play chess and you think you're winning, and then all of a sudden you lose your queen, and you thought, oh man. And then you get checkmate, but what do you do after the game's over and you lose and you're just upset and you feel like pounding on the wall? What do? You say, I want to play another game. I used to talk to my mom about reincarnation. She says, no, I don't even want to believe in reincarnation. This life is enough. After this life is over, I've had a hard life. When my life is over, I just want to relax. I say, well, after you've relaxed maybe 100 years, you want another challenge, believe me. And that's true. When you play a game that's hard, you may play a game that's hard. You may have played Monopoly. You may have been on top of the world, and then you lit on the wrong squares and lost all your money. And then you get together with your friends the next week, and what do you want to play? You want to play it again. You want to get revenge. So so you want to play it all over again. And this is the way it is. The type of games we humans design are hard to win games, aren't they? Monopoly is hard to win. Football is hard to win. Chess is really hard to win. The harder it is to win, the sweeter the victory, and the more fun the game is to be played. Yet what are the big complaints that all the atheists have about God? And the reason they say they won't believe in God? I can't believe in God because he would not create a world where there's suffering and all this risk. He wouldn't do that. Well, we do it. If we do it and we're the image of God, why wouldn't God do it? We created football. And man, you watch those guys batter each other in football. And we're talking about American football. European football is pretty tough too. But yeah, that's a tremendous risk in that game. I mean, if we sent James out to play in a major football game, he's a pretty tough kid, but he doesn't have the weight to to shove his way around on a football team. But they probably hit him, he'd probably fly 50 feet. But boy, you need to be tough. We design games that are hard, that have pain, and are tough to master, don't we? So why do we complain that God did the same thing for us? He designed a game for us. Lots of change. What's that?
The game I design doesn't come with death.
Yeah, right. So this is a tough game we're in, and we're playing it to win. And you know, it's within us, everybody has an inward recognition about this, because no matter how tough things get for us, there's something in us that keeps telling us to go forward. Every once in a while, somebody just gives up and commits suicide, but even the people that try to commit suicide, once they recover and get in their right mind, they're ready to go again. So it's interesting that people do their best to win. They have that instinct within them to win a game, to win the game of life. It's just an instinct. And most people are pretty optimistic about it. Just like when you're playing a sports game, and you're behind, you won't ever admit that you're going to lose, even though statistically you're probably going to lose. You won't admit it. You say, well, I'm going to come back. They interview the losing coach at the halftime, and he says, well, we're going to come back, we're going to make up those points, we're going to beat the dickens out of those other guys. In other words, they have this optimism that keeps the game interesting. They don't give up. They continue on. And in the game of life, we need to play it like a football game or something like this. Because if we do that, if we realize that, yeah, this game of life is set up, it's the most fascinating game of all. It has so many parameters in, and there's so many different avenues to play. If you're playing football or chess or Monopoly or one of our games, there's only so many parameters in it. There's only so many avenues you can take. But in the game of life, it's really unlimited. It's the most fascinating game of all. And there's a number of ways to win. But there's no ultimate win. Once you win, it's a little bit like the video games they have, where they have different levels. You go to level 1, level 2, level 3. Now, when you get good at chess, you just either win or lose. But in the video games, which perhaps kind of reflects the mind of God in some ways, you go from one level to another. And this is the way we do with playing the game of life as long as we're in this universe. is we win, we get, we master a certain level, and then we go on to a higher level, and we got new things to conquer. New stresses, new joys, new sorrows, new struggles. But in between one level or to another, there's a period of rest. There's always a period of rest because, and that's the principle of the Sabbath. Sabbath principle is basically this: we should take about 1/7 of our time to just kick back and rest. They have it wrong that, you know, you need to just be black and white about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a principle. And the principle is you need to give yourself enough rest to be reinvigorated. And that's the basic Sabbath principle, is just to give yourself a little bit of rest now and then. If you do nothing but work without kicking back and relaxing a little bit, then it'll be counterproductive after a while. You get too strung out, interferes with your health. But there's an important principle in just kicking back and relaxing.